SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans, and I just got a curveball from the desk, from the engineering department, such as we have it. I can usually tell if it's KC that's, you know, the lead up before we talk in the morning, or if it's sometimes Deja. And I thought for sure it was Deja, and then I got this. I said, Deja, hi, I'm guessing it's you on the board. And she said, no, it's not. So it was Casey. You surprised me because you were playing stuff that Deja usually plays leading in to the morning. So good morning to Case and Deja, if you're somewhere listening. And here we are on Monday of our last broadcast week of the year. And I will not, I will try not to sound either, you know, gleeful or relieved. Who isn't reaching for the wire right about now, right? It's been a challenge this year from every, you know, what are you going to, I don't think it's any surprise. What else can you say? And from whatever perspective you come at it, still, you know, you love doing what you do, but been tested. Everybody's been tested, and you know, as we've said all year, and as we go through this week, we'll certainly get year end. You know, those year-end, those compendium kind of discussions that that we have. So that's the itinerary, plus lots of great ATR Christmas music for the breaks, all right, all week, so we can get as many of our favorites in and send you out into the holidays, into the last couple of weeks of the year in high spirits, right? Certainly wrapped up yesterday in some high spirits. That was I enjoyed listening. I couldn't even watch the Eagles yesterday because they pulled a bait and switch on Fox. They all week they Saints Eagles, and then literally at 4:25 they slapped on the Niners and Washington. So I wasn't happy. I ended up listening on the radio, which was all right, but I was excited to, you know, to watch Jalen Hurts. And I have a few conversations today with Louisiana-based visitors. So I don't think I can be doing too much, you know, too much gloating on the Eagles win over the Saints. not with the visitors that a couple of the visitors that are coming today from Louisiana. So I'll keep that to a minimum. It's a nice weekend overall. I mean, I thought the racing, particularly on Saturday, and we'll talk to Danny Gargan about tax and nice comeback there. I mean, it's fun when you get to this juncture in the year, you know, post Breeders' Cup, and you get comebackers that, you know, you either, you know, you see highlights or you see, you know, advance notice. Oh, so-and-so is pointing for this or whatever. And in some cases, you know, it's horses you've completely forgotten about. And to be honest, I'd kind of, you know, kind of forgotten about tax. And so when, you know, when he turned up for that Harlan's Holiday on Saturday, you know, you want horses like this to come back and come back well. That was more than coming back well. I mean, he looked terrific. So we'll talk to Danny. And quite a number of performers from the weekend with the Fort Lauderdale and the Sugar Swirl, et cetera, and the Rampart and the My Charmer are going to come back on Pegasus Day. And that includes Largent. No Todd Pletcher today. Todd Pletcher tomorrow. And I got a ton of things to talk to Pletcher about since we visited last in October. So we got about 8 weeks of winners. Very quietly, Todd Pletcher has been coming on strong this last quarter. And Largent, the other the other Pletcher in the Fort Lauderdale, wow, with Paco Lopez. And big day, I think Eclipse won at least two. I mean, I didn't even look at, I think they might have won something at Los Al, too, now that I think about it. But two winners, Todd with four on the day. And, I mean, there's a lot going on. So we'll talk to the Pletcher Barn tomorrow and get a year-end synopsis and get a handle on what feels like quite a few two-year-olds. I was actually going through, you know, I saved the charts. And, you know, of maidens and stakes and so forth and, you know, interesting horses. And, you know, then I could rifle through them in advance of a visit. And there's quite a few. So Todd tomorrow, but Largent with the pricey upset in the Fort Lauderdale and Tax, as mentioned. We'll talk to Danny later in the hour. And Ladies Island, Georgina Baxter for Matisse Racing and Partners. And we're going to talk to Duke. Duke was down there. He came in, and as much for pay any price for the swan song, the career finale for the Turf Sprinter, and he was certainly noble going out, you know, with a good try on Friday. But then Ladies Island basically gave everybody a lift after saying goodbye to pay any price. So Duke is home. He got home. It's funny. I woke up very early, and I had texted Duke, and he literally had just gotten in. And that was like at 2:30 this morning, of course, 11:30 Pacific. So we'll talk to Duke Matisse at the top of the hour about graded stake win, the Sugar Swirl, Jaramillo aboard Ladies Island, and the farewell of Pay Any Price, who was really, really one of those hard, the literal definition of, you know, hard knocking, and one of those horses that.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans, and I just got a curveball from the desk from the engineering department, such as we have it. I can usually tell if it's KC that's, you know, the lead up before we talk in the morning, or if it's sometimes Deja. And I thought for sure it was Deja, and then I got this. I said, Deja, hi, I'm guessing it's you on the board. And she said, no, it's not. So it was Casey. You surprised me because you were playing stuff that Deja usually plays leading in to the morning. So good morning to Case and Deja, if you're somewhere listening. And here we are on Monday of our last broadcast week of the year. And I will not, I will try not to sound either, you know, gleeful or relieved. Who isn't reaching for the wire right about now, right? It's been a challenge this year from every, you know, what are you going to, I don't think it's any surprise. What else can you say? And from whatever perspective you come at it, still, you know, you love doing what you do, but been tested. Everybody's been tested, and you know, as we've said all year, and as we go through this week, we'll certainly get year end. You know, those year-end, those compendium kind of discussions that that we have. So that's the itinerary, plus lots of great ATR Christmas music for the breaks, all right, all week, so we can get as many of our favorites in and send you out into the holidays, into the last couple of weeks of the year in high spirits, right? Certainly wrapped up yesterday in some high spirits. That was I enjoyed listening. I couldn't even watch the Eagles yesterday because they pulled a bait and switch on Fox. They all week they Saints Eagles, Eagles Saints, Saints Eagles, and then literally at 4:25 they slapped on the Niners and Washington. So I wasn't happy. I ended up listening on the radio, which was all right, but I was excited to, you know, to watch Jalen Hurts. And I have a few conversations today with Louisiana-based visitors. So I don't think I can be doing too much, you know, too much gloating on the Eagles win over the Saints. not with the visitors that a couple of the visitors that are coming today from Louisiana. So I'll keep that to a minimum. A nice weekend overall. I mean, I thought the racing, particularly on Saturday, and we'll talk to Danny Gargan about tax and nice comeback there. I mean, it's fun when you get to this juncture in the year, you know, post Breeders' Cup, and you get comebackers that, you know, you either, you know, you see highlights or you see, you know, advance notice. Oh, so-and-so is pointing for this or whatever. And in some cases, you know, it's horses you've completely forgotten about. And to be honest, I'd kind of, you know, kind of forgotten about Tax. And so when, you know, when he turned up for that Harlan's Holiday on Saturday, you know, you want horses like this to come back and come back well. That was more than coming back well. I mean, he looked terrific. So we'll talk to Danny, and quite a number of performers from the weekend with the Fort Lauderdale and the Sugar Swirl, et cetera, and the Rampart and the My Charmer are going to come back on Pegasus Day. And that includes Largent. No Todd Pletcher today. Todd Pletcher tomorrow. And I got a ton of things to talk to Pletcher about since we visited last in October. So we got about 8 weeks of winners. Very quietly, Todd Pletcher has been coming on strong this last quarter. And Largent, the other the other Pletcher in the Fort Lauderdale, wow, with Paco Lopez, and Big Dave, I think Eclipse won at least two. I mean, I didn't even look at, I think they might have won something at Los Al, too, now that I think about it. But two winners, Todd with four on the day, and I mean, there's a lot going on. So we'll talk to the Pletcher Barn tomorrow and get a year-end synopsis and get a handle on what feels like quite a few two-year-olds. I was actually going through, you know, I saved the charts and you know, of maidens and stakes and so forth, and, you know, interesting horses, and, you know, then I could rifle through them in advance of a visit, and there's quite a few. So Todd tomorrow, but Largent with the pricey upset in the Fort Lauderdale, and Tax, as mentioned. We'll talk to Danny later in the hour. And Ladies Island, Georgina Baxter for Matisse Racing and Partners. And we're going to talk to Duke. Duke was down there. He came in, and as much for pay any price for the swan song, the career finale for the Turf Sprinter, and he was certainly noble going out, you know, with a good try on Friday. But then Ladies Island basically gave everybody a lift after saying goodbye to pay any price. So Duke is home. He got home. It's funny. I woke up very early, and I had texted Duke, and he literally had just gotten in. That was like at 2:30 this morning, of course, 11:30 Pacific. So we'll talk to Duke Matisse at the top of the hour about graded stake win, the Sugar Swirl, Jaramillo aboard Ladies Island, and the farewell of Pay Any Price, who was really, really one of those hard, the literal definition of, you know, hard knocking, and one of those horses that maintained form for an extended period and gave Duke and Paul and everybody a terrific run and a lot of pleasure. So we'll have that visit. I mentioned Louisiana. All right. You're going to have back-to-back visits from the Bayou. The one and only Hurricane himself. No logistics. John Hurt is going to be back. And you know, he visited earlier in the year when he had won a contest and had qualified for NHC. Then he comes back and he wins another one Saturday. And every time he wins, it sets off, you know, Twitter mayhem. And he said, I got to come back. He was disappointed, I guess, in himself that he was restrained in his first visit earlier this year. What was it, maybe in May or June? When was that case? When was John Hurd, H-U-R-D? When was John on earlier in the year? He felt that he didn't really give a appropriate account of himself, that the authentic Hurricane was not enough on display. So I think you're going to get it today. So I issued a hurricane warning yesterday. there's the whole coda real August. Okay, so it was in the summer that he won. Well, I'll tell you what, the fact that he won in August, that may be a real warning shot that he's going to be tough come NHC. Figuring that Saratoga and Del Mar were and Ellis were parts of that. Whatever that, I don't remember the specifics of the contest. I'll look it up on a break. So John Hurd, and so hour two is actually going to be, the hour of power with a couple of hard to wrangle cats with Duke Matisse and John Hurd back to back. Colby Hernandez is going to visit. And I know we talked to Colby. Actually, I can't remember if we talked to Colby on the show or whether it was on a night school. But I know that had a great conversation with Colby at some point. And I reached out to him because of the win in the Louisiana Champions Classic. And at a big price, and it's a nice story. Just reaching for the Fairgrounds action from Saturday. The Classic 52-1, Grand Luigi, and it was a good race. Beat 4-5 Shang. The Asmussen highly brought favorite, and they duel down the stretch, and Colby Hernandez, who seems primed for a terrific meet at Fairgrounds. Gerard Perron trains and owns and bred this El Corredor 5-year-old coming out of Evangeline, and it's a nice story. Pretty fun. So Colby Hernandez is going to join us, and we'll talk about, we really have not had a chance. And Marcus, I told you, Friday, Marcus is on vacation until Wednesday. So I'll get to Marcus before the end of the broadcast year, but not until later in the week. So we really have not had a chance, other than mentioning the bad weather in New Orleans. And we really have not, gotten into their action too much yet. So touch on a little Fairgrounds. And I think we're talking to Steve Anderson later as well in hour three. Dick Powell is going to join us. I'm not going to give too much away of the Hong Kong action, but because I'm going to cover it with Dick, I figured let's get that reviewed rather than wait until later in the week when it's gotten stale. Really a lot of fun. I was not able to wake up. It's too bad, actually. If I'd woken up like I did earlier this morning, I could have watched the races live. But instead, enjoyed them, when I got up yesterday. And we'll go through the results. They were pretty formful, including Mogul. Starting things off in the Vaz, another Vaz winner for Aiden O'Brien, and then the Japanese had another big HKIR, Denon Smash. Ryan Moore rides the first two winners in the IR races, and Denon Smash was a decent price. It was basically 10-1, paid $22.75 in North America, and Golden 60, who's just, forget it. I mean, Golden 60 in the mile. He is just in a zone. The season is a little less than half over in Hong Kong, and he's the horse of the meet. I mean, I don't know how he's not. Vincent Ho aboard and wins the mile. And then the other Japanese winner, Normcore, beat Win Bright and Magical. I think I saw a thing that Magical's coming back again. Did I see that? Yeah, I think I saw the headline. Magical, you know, expects the campaign again. So Magical not done yet. But it looked really good. And the races were, they were actually, I mean, all things considered, yeah, the winners were, you know, were pretty clear. And there were a couple of spots. I think the sprint with down on Smash and Jolly Banner, that was probably the best opportunity for nice returns in terms of prices. Everything else was pretty formful. So we'll go over it with Dick. All right. So that's on the agenda. Haven't talked about New York, and boy, I felt at Aqueduct on Saturday that I really had. That pick five, I mean, I had everything and could not put them on the same ticket. That was really, really irksome. Starting with that Boeing Snowman in the first leg that paid $9.50. I mean, was, you know, was one of the ones. And, you know, then try St. Lorenzo. Nick, you know, couldn't have made it more clear. The Tri St. Lorenzo off the maiden win for our friend Mandy Latterer and her partner, Dianette Rivas. So, congratulations to Mandy. Back to back wins for Tri St. Lorenzo, paid $19.40. Our last buck, you know, who was obviously, you know, one of the obvious candidates. Then Bank It. $7.70. And then you had the, you know, the pretty clear favorite win the nightcap. This paid really well. The pick five paid $4,454. And I, you know, it's one of those ones where you know, you strictly, I've said it before, I'm not spending, you know, $288 on a pick five ticket. I just don't approach it that way. You know, but you just know that if you had leaned, you know, if you had leaned a little heavier, like in that nightcap, that Unbridled John was, you know, obviously the horse to beat, the Bruce Brown. And, you know, because it's a maiden 25, state breds, and you think, all right, you know, these are ripe for upset. So, you know, went four deep there. That was unnecessary, you know, would have opened the door to, you know, to use Boeing Snowman. I mean, as an A instead of a C, you know, right away, you know, you're on the defensive when, you know, you have a C win that first leg. So anyway, capped okay. And, you know, had some winners. Speaking of some winners, Scully on Saturday night, fairly late. And, I kind of lost track, and in that seventh that he talked about Friday at Turfway, Luna Fortis, $17 winner, was very nice. The Contreras with Manny Esquivel, that was quite nice. The other push, one of the other ones scratched out of the fifth. That another hero ended up scratching the Calhoun in the maiden race. And who was the third? Glenwood was the other horse in that sequence in the fifth, sixth, seventh. So a nice $17 winner there, and Nick with the winner. And also, you know, for those that signed into Thoroughgraph, Vic also had who was it early on the card on Saturday that Vic had too, so that he gave out a nice. Winner in the teens too, so some productive information and opinions offered on Friday into the weekend. Some of the other things that we should slip in. How about Mike Maker? Mike Maker yesterday six wins from eight starters at three venues. Unbelievable. Two in New York. He was 2-for-2 in New York. And four of five, I think, at Gulfstream. Six winners from eight starters yesterday. Unbelievable. Really amazing. And there was another thing along those lines. Oh, I tweeted it early this morning. I was going through and was watching some races that I hadn't seen live. And that included VIP ticket in the Uevo at Charlestown on Friday night. Jerry O'Dwyer. Jerry O'Dwyer, if you didn't see my tweet, this calendar year, when I went to go look at the figure, I was curious about the performance by VIP ticket. And when I went to look at the, to pull up the formulator page, I see that O'Dwyer, 15 starts at Charlestown since the beginning of the year. This is a calendar year stat. January 8th was his first starter of the year in Charlestown through Friday night. 15 starts. This was his eighth win from 15 starters. No horse that he has shipped to Charlestown has been out of the superfecta. Eight winners, 2 seconds, 2/3, 3/4 in 15 starters. VIP ticket counts for two of those wins. And Esther's Fortune broke a maiden and a maiden claimer and then came right back and won literally the next week. He's 5 for his last 6 since September. pretty scary. You see it when you open up the Charlestown PPs, but obviously when O'Dwyer ships to Charlestown, he's live. Let's put it that way. to say the least, unbelievable. So that's just a couple of the headlines. Those two races at Tampa, too. I've got to reach out. All year I've wanted to get Ralph Nix on, and because Ralph's had a nice year, and he's had plenty of babies, which he's particularly good with. But how about Chivalry? He's a 3-year-old. He feels like he's been around. I don't know, for whatever reason, it feels like he's been around forever. He made his 15th start in that Marion County stake, the Florida Sire stake, and went off a nice price too. It was almost 6-1, paid $13.60. And Chivalry, who's made now over $400,000, actually. Very nice. The Fred Bry, Jacks Are Better. And I also always happy to see Terry Pompey with a win. Terry Pompey and the My Purple Haze team with their homebred Wildcat Air Mare, who's got the greatest name, Aerosol. It's pretty good. Aerosol. It always makes me smile when I see it. She wins the City of Ocala race. And that was under Gallardo. And with authority. Went off just favored, a little under 2-1, paid $5.80. So those were those two, and plenty more. We got the action from Los Al, including that Soviet problem and some maiden action. I've got plenty more as well. I want to give you the rest of those fairgrounds winners from the Champions Day, and we got. In addition to Bankett, who won yesterday? I don't think I put yesterday's stake in the in the package? I don't think I did. Maybe I did. In the Bay Ridge. Lucky move in that short. Yeah, there was the short field. And lucky move came back with a win after that good effort last time. So there's just a few of the headlines. Dick Powell's going to join us. Then Danny Gargan, Duke Matisse, John Hurd, Colby Hernandez, and I think Steve Anderson. Because I want Steve to give you the – we never got to him on Friday, and we just had a little too much going on. But I did want to hear about the weekend at Los Al on the quarter horse side. You had the two big the champion of champions, and then you had the $2 million futurity last night. So we'll get those from Steve. All right. Right now, though, Dick Powell standing by, and we dive into the late night or early morning action from SHOT to the HKIR. Always of interest, and the kinds of participants, including Breeders' Cup exiters and much, much more. Dick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Good to talk to you on a Monday. And next time, call me. I have the NFL season ticket package, so New Orleans and the Eagles were on. As for the Jets are so bad, they weren't even on yesterday in this market. I had to put it on Channel 713 to watch the Jets Seattle yesterday. So,
well, the Jets seemingly are they've got something very, very specific on their mind, obviously, which is to stay ahead of Jacksonville to get that first pick. It's become very apparent after last week.
We're good at it.
I love it. Well, I did not appreciate what Fox the stunt Fox pulled. I mean, you don't. I mean, I understand why they did it, because they felt that with the Giant fans having interest in the market, that they'd want to see the Redskin game. Okay, I guess, but. You've advertised the Eagles-Saint game all week, and literally at kickoff, you just slap that other game on without any notice. I thought that was a lowbrow stunt.
Well, that's the beauty of having sat DirecTV and the NFL package.
I had it for a while. I had it for a while, and I think I had it for two years, and I went back to a Time Warner Spectrum.
Well, the thing is, the Jets are so bad in a 16-game season. There's going to be two or three games that are not going to be on in this market. They'll pick up Buffalo, they'll pick up New England. Now, yesterday they picked up, Kansas City, Miami. I know that's a better national game, but. There's no regional interest in that game. So even then, we're that bad. Like, put on a test pattern, anything.
Well, it was a long day then for you, because did you get up? Were you able to rouse yourself for the action?
I had a mouse rouse me to action early Sunday morning. It's getting cold out, and something got caught in the wall, and it was making this unbelievable racket right around midnight. So I watched race four live. I watched race five, the sprint, half asleep. And then next thing, it was 4:30, I had my phone on and the races on, but I then had to go back and watch the replays of the other races. So, yeah, I did the beginning. I did get to see... Mogul, who was just a winner every step of the way. He just stalked the Exultant and took over as he pleased and looked sensational. And getting 5 pounds. I mean, being a three-year-old, you don't see many three-year-olds win these kind of races. So being a three-year-old, getting 5 pounds and being in great form, Ryan Moore just sat him. And Exultant wound up, Exultant was the favorite, his local horse. He wound up on the lead, which is not a big deal. But there was a target in the race that scratched, and then the other one, Schifano, never really went to the lead. So Exultant kind of set a dawdling pace, and he needed to kick like 6 furlongs out and not kick at the top of the stretch. He doesn't have that acceleration. So Mogul just inhaled him. Aiden had great things to say after the race, how much they're looking forward to Mogul and all the races next year between a mile and a quarter and a mile and a half. Unbelievably bred son of Galileo. I think he cost, with the exchange rate, I think he cost over $5 million as a yearling. He's a foal to Japan, a foal to a bunch of others. And he won the Grand Prix de Paris, Group 1, and now he's Hong Kong Vaz winner with lots of big races coming up next year. So I got things going.
Third Vaz for Aiden O'Brien.
Yeah, he won it with a Highland Reel, and then he came back 2 years later and won it with a Highland Reel. So that's pretty good. And he wins it with Mogul. And the big picture Saturday night, Steve, was you're thrilled to have Japan win. You're thrilled to have Kumo win. You know they'll come back. You're thrilled to have Holly Doyle win a jockey championship race the previous Wednesday night, and she was delighted and said she'd come back. And, you know, and considering everything they had to overcome to put this event on, it could not have worked out any better.
Well, couldn't have worked out any better for Danone Smash, and probably the most juicy returns in terms of pricing with the Jolly Banner Exacta, and everything came back nice. The Swingers and the Exacta and the Quinella. So and the Try, huge Try, $15,000. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Alan Carrasso may have given out the Try in his in his tabs, and we every year when Alan goes, we typically talk to him from there, and we didn't get a chance to connect this week.
Well, we all got turned off by Danone Smash drawing post 14. I threw out Classic Legend. It was the second choice. The favorite was the Hot King Prawn. So Danone Smash, as far as getting a trip from post 14, you could not have worked out a better trip. He was mid-pack. He was only 2-3 off the rail. He had Ryan Moore, and this is Ryan. This kind of completes a career grand slam for Ryan. He's now won all 4 Hong Kong International races in his career. So he has them, you know, just grinding down the stretch. And I have Wishful Thinker at 42-1, and he is coming. He had a little bit of spitted off heels. He was 14th at the top of the stretch. He misses by 3/4 of a length. He misses second by.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
A very good Monday, race fans, and I just got a curveball from the desk, from the engineering department, such as we have it. I can usually tell if it's KC that's, you know, the lead up before we talk in the morning, or if it's sometimes Deja. And I thought for sure it was Deja, and then I got this. I said, Deja, hi, I'm guessing it's you on the board. And she said, no, it's not. So it was Casey. You surprised me because you were playing stuff that Deja usually plays leading in to the morning. So good morning to Case and Deja, if you're somewhere listening. And here we are on Monday of our last broadcast week of the year. And I will not. I will try not to sound either, you know, gleeful or relieved. Who isn't reaching for the wire right about now, right? It's been a challenge this year from every, you know. What are you gonna? I don't think it's any surprise. What else can you say? And from whatever perspective you come at it, still, you know, you love doing what you do, but been tested. Everybody's been tested, and you know, as we've said all year, and as we go through this week, we'll certainly get year end. You know, those year-end, those compendium kind of discussions that that we have. So that's the itinerary, plus lots of great ATR Christmas music for the breaks, all right, all week, so we can get as many of our favorites in and send you out into the holidays, into the last couple of weeks of the year in high spirits, right? Certainly wrapped up yesterday in some high spirits. That was I enjoyed listening. I couldn't even watch the Eagles yesterday because they pulled a bait and switch on Fox. They all week they Saints Eagles, and then literally at 4:25 they slapped on the Niners and Washington. So I wasn't happy. I ended up listening on the radio, which was all right, but I was excited to, you know, to watch Jalen Hurts. And I have a few conversations today with Louisiana-based visitors. So I don't think I can be doing too much, you know, too much gloating on the Eagles win over the Saints. not with the visitors that a couple of the visitors that are coming today from Louisiana. So I'll keep that to a minimum. It's a nice weekend overall. I mean, I thought the racing, particularly on Saturday, and we'll talk to Danny Gargan about tax and nice comeback there. I mean, it's fun when you get to this juncture in the year, you know, post Breeders' Cup, and you get comebackers that, you know, you either, you know, you see highlights or you see, you know, advance notice. Oh, so-and-so is pointing for this or whatever. And in some cases, you know, it's horses you've completely forgotten about. And to be honest, I'd kind of forgotten about Tax. And so when, you know, when he turned up for that Harlan's Holiday on Saturday, you know, you want horses like this to come back and come back well. That was more than coming back well. I mean, he looked terrific. So we'll talk to Danny, and quite a number of performers from the weekend with the Fort Lauderdale and the Sugar Swirl, et cetera, and the Rampart and the My Charmer are going to come back on Pegasus Day. And that includes Largent. No Todd Pletcher today. Todd Pletcher tomorrow. And I got a ton of things to talk to Pletcher about since we visited last in October. So we got about 8 weeks of winners. Very quietly, Todd Pletcher has been coming on strong this last quarter. And Largent, the other the other Pletcher in the Fort Lauderdale. Wow. With Paco Lopez. And big day. I think Eclipse won at least two. I mean, I didn't even look at I think they might have won something at Los Al, too, now that I think about it. But two winners, Todd with four on the day. And I mean, there's a lot going on. So we'll talk to the Pletcher Barn tomorrow and get a year-end synopsis and get a handle on what feels like quite a few two-year-olds. I was actually going through, you know, I saved the charts and you know, of maidens and stakes and so forth, and, you know, interesting horses, and, you know, then I could rifle through them in advance of a visit, and there's quite a few. So Todd tomorrow, but Largent with the pricey upset in the Fort Lauderdale, and Tax, as mentioned. We'll talk to Danny later in the hour. And Ladies Island, Georgina Baxter for Matisse Racing and Partners. And we're going to talk to Duke. Duke was down there. He came in, and as much for pay any price for the swan song, the career finale for the Turf Sprinter. And he was certainly noble going out, you know, with a good try on Friday. But then Ladies Island basically gave everybody a lift after saying goodbye to pay any price. So Duke is home. He got home. It's funny. I woke up very early. And I had texted Duke, and he literally had just gotten in. And that was like at 2:30 this morning, of course, 11:30 Pacific. So we'll talk to Duke Matisse at the top of the hour about graded stake win, the Sugar Swirl, Jaramillo aboard Ladies Island, and the farewell of Pay Any Price, who was really one of those hard, the literal definition of, you know, hard knocking, and one of those horses that maintained form for an extended period and gave Duke and Paul and everybody a terrific run and a lot of pleasure. So we'll have that visit. I mentioned Louisiana. All right. You're going to have back-to-back visits from the Bayou. The one and only Hurricane himself. No logistics. John Hurt is going to be back. And you know, he visited earlier in the year when he had won a contest and had qualified for NHC. Then he comes back and he wins another one Saturday. And every time he wins, it sets off. It sets off, you know, Twitter mayhem. And he said, I got to come back. He was disappointed, I guess, in himself that he was restrained in his first visit earlier this year. What was it, maybe in May or June? When was that case? When was John Hurd, H-U-R-D? When was John on earlier in the year? He felt that he didn't really give a appropriate account of himself. The authentic Hurricane was not enough on display. So I think you're going to get it today. So I issued a hurricane warning yesterday. there's the whole there's the whole coterie. August. Okay, so it was in the summer that he won. Well, I'll tell you what, the fact that he won in August, that that may be a real warning shot that he's going to be tough come NHC. You know, figuring that Saratoga and Del Mar were probably, you know, and Ellis were parts of that, whatever that I don't remember the specifics of the contest. I'll look it up on a break. So John Hurd. And so hour two is actually going to be, you know, the hour of power with with a couple of hard to wrangle cats with Duke Matisse and John Hurd back to back. Colby Hernandez is going to visit. And I know we talked to Colby. Actually, I can't remember if we talked to Colby on the show or whether it was on a night school. But I know that had a great conversation with Colby at some point. And I reached out to him because of the win in the Louisiana Champions Classic. And a big price, and it's a nice story. I'm just reaching for the Fairgrounds action from Saturday. The Classic, 52-1, Grand Luigi, and it was a good race. Beat 4-5 Shang, the Asmussen highly brought favorite, and they duel down the stretch, and Colby Hernandez, who seems primed for a terrific meet at Fairgrounds. Gerard Perron trains and owns and bred this El Corredor 5-year-old coming out of Evangeline, and it's a nice story. Pretty fun. So Colby Hernandez is going to join us, and we'll talk about, we really have not had a chance. And Marcus, I told you Friday, Marcus is on vacation until Wednesday. So I'll get to Marcus before the end of the broadcast year, but not until later in the week. So we really have not had a chance, other than mentioning the bad weather in New Orleans, and we really have not, gotten into their action too much yet. So, touch on a little Fairgrounds, and I think we're talking to Steve Anderson later as well in hour three, Dick Powell is going to join us. I'm not going to give too much away of the Hong Kong action, but because I'm going to cover it with Dick, I figured let's get that reviewed rather than wait until later in the week when it's gotten stale. Really a lot of fun. I was not able to wake up. It's too bad, actually. If I'd woken up like I did earlier this morning, I could have watched the races live, but instead enjoyed them. When I got up yesterday, and we'll go through the results. They were pretty formful, including Mogul, starting things off in the Vaz, another Vaz winner for Aiden O'Brien, and then the Japanese. The Japanese had another big HKIR, Denon Smash. Ryan Moore rides the first two winners in the IR races. And down on Smash, was a decent price. It was basically 10-1, paid $22.75 in North America. And Golden 60, who's just, forget it. I mean, Golden 60 in the mile, he is just in a zone. I mean, the season is a little less than half over in Hong Kong, and he's the horse of the meet. I mean, I don't know how he's not. Vincent Ho aboard and wins the mile. And then the other Japanese winner, Normcore, beat Win Bright and Magical. I think I saw a thing that Magical's coming back again. Did I see that? Yeah, I think I saw the headline. Magical, you know, expects the campaign again. So Magical not done yet. But it looked really good. And the races were, they were actually, I mean, all things considered, yeah, the winners were, you know, were pretty clear. And there were a couple of spots. I think the sprint with down on Smash and Jolly Banner, that was probably the best opportunity for nice returns in terms of prices. Everything else was pretty formful. So we'll go over it with Dick. All right. So that's on the agenda. Haven't talked about New York, and boy, I felt at Aqueduct on Saturday that I really had. With that pick five, I mean, I had everything and could not put them on the same ticket. That was really, really irksome. Starting with that Boeing Snowman in the first leg that paid $9.50. I mean, was one of the ones, and you know, then try St. Lorenzo. Nick, couldn't have made it more clear. The Tri St. Lorenzo off the maiden win for our friend Mandy Latterer and her partner, Dianette Rivas. So congratulations to Mandy. Back-to-back wins for Tri St. Lorenzo, paid $19.40. Our last buck, you know, who was obviously, you know, one of the obvious candidates. Then Bank It. $7.70. And then you had the... You know, the pretty clear favorite win the nightcap. This paid really well. The pick five paid $4,454. And I it's one of those ones where you strictly, I've said it before, I'm not spending, you know, $288 on a pick five ticket. I just don't approach it that way. You know, but you just know that if you had leaned a little heavier, like in that nightcap, that Unbridled John was, you know, obviously the horse to beat, the Bruce Brown. And, you know, because it's a maiden 25 state breds, and you think, all right, you know, these are ripe for upset. So, you know, went four deep there. That was unnecessary, you know, would have opened the door to, you know, to use Boeing Snowman, I mean, as an A instead of a C, you know, right away, you know, you're on the defensive when, you know, you have a C win that first leg. Capped okay and, you know, had some winners. Speaking of some winners, Scully on Saturday night, fairly late, and, I kind of lost track, and in that seventh that he talked about Friday at Turfway, Luna Fortis, $17 winner, was very nice. The Contreras with Manny Esquivel, that was quite nice. The other push, one of the other ones scratched out of the fifth. That another hero ended up scratching the Calhoun in the maiden race. And who was the third? Glenwood was the other horse in that sequence in the fifth, sixth, seventh. So a nice $17 winner there, and Nick with the winner. And also, you know, for those that signed into Thoroughgraph, Vic also had who was it early on the card on Saturday that Vic had too, so that he gave out a nice. Winner in the teens too, so some productive information and opinions offered on Friday into the weekend. Some of the other things that we should slip in. How about Mike Maker? Mike Maker yesterday, six wins from eight starters at three venues, unbelievable. two in New York. He was 2 for 2 in New York, and four of five, I think, at Gulfstream. Six winners from 8 starters yesterday. Unbelievable. Really amazing. And there was another thing along those lines. Oh, I tweeted it early this morning. I was going through and was watching some races that I hadn't seen live. And that included VIP ticket in the Uevo at Charlestown on Friday night. Jerry O'Dwyer. Jerry O'Dwyer, if you didn't see my tweet, this calendar year, when I went to go look at the figure, I was curious about the performance by VIP ticket. And when I went to look at the, to pull up the formulator page, I see that O'Dwyer, 15 starts at Charlestown since the beginning of the year. This is a calendar year stat. January 8th was his first starter of the year in Charlestown through Friday night. 15 starts. This was his 8th win from 15 starters. No horse that he has shipped to Charlestown has been out of the superfecta. 8 winners, 2 seconds, 2/3, 3/4 in 15 starters. VIP ticket counts for 2 of those wins. And Esther's Fortune broke a maiden in a maiden claimer and then came right back and won literally the next week. He's 5 for his last 6 since September. pretty scary. You see it when you open up the Charlestown PPs, but obviously when O'Dwyer ships to Charlestown, he's live. Let's put it that way. to say the least, unbelievable. So that's just a couple of the headlines. Those two races at Tampa, too. I've got to reach out. All year I've wanted to get Ralph Nix on, and because Ralph's had a nice year, and he's had plenty of babies, which he's particularly good with. But how about Chivalry? He's a 3-year-old. He feels like he's been around. I don't know, for whatever reason, it feels like he's been around forever. He made his 15th start in that Marion County Stake, the Florida Sire Stake, and went off a nice price too. It was almost 6-1. Paid $1,360. And Chivalry, who's made now over $400,000, actually. Very nice. The Fred Bry Jacks Are Better. And I also always happy to see Terry Pompey with a win. Terry Pompey and the My Purple Haze team with their homebred Wildcat Air Mare, who's got the greatest name, Aerosol. It's pretty good. Aerosol. It always makes me smile when I see it. She wins the City of Ocala race. And that was under Gallardo. And with authority. Went off just favored, a little under 2-1, paid $580. So those were those two, and plenty more. We got the action from Los Al, including that Soviet problem and some maiden action. I've got plenty more as well. I want to give you the rest of those fairgrounds winners from the Champions Day, and we got. In addition to Bankett, who won yesterday? Did I put yesterday's stake in the package? I don't think I did. Maybe I did. In the Bay Ridge. Lucky Move in that short. Yeah, there was the short field, and Lucky Move came back with a win after that good effort last time. So there's just a few of the headlines. Dick Powell's going to join us. Then Danny Gargan, Duke Matisse, John Hurd, Colby Hernandez, and I think Steve Anderson. Because I want Steve to give you the – we never got to him on Friday, and we just had a little too much going on. But I did want to hear about the weekend at Los Al on the quarter horse side. You had the two big, the champion of champions, and then you had the $2 million futurity last night. So we'll get those from Steve. All right. Right now, though, Dick Powell standing by, and we dive into the late night or early morning action from SHOT to the HKIR. Always of interest, and the kinds of participants, including Breeders' Cup exiters and much, much more. Dick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Good to talk to you on a Monday. And next time, call me. I have the NFL season ticket package, so New Orleans and the Eagles were on. As for the Jets are so bad. They weren't even on yesterday in this market. I had to put it on Channel 713 to watch the Jets Seattle yesterday. So,
well, the Jets seemingly are they've got something very, very specific on their mind, obviously, which is to, stay ahead of Jacksonville to get that first pick. It's become very apparent after last week.
We're good at it.
I love it. Well, I did not appreciate what Fox, the stunt Fox pulled. I mean, I understand why they did it, because they felt that, with the Giant fans having interest in the market, that they'd want to see the Redskin game. Okay, I guess, but you've advertised the Eagles-Saint game all week, and literally at kickoff, you just slap that other game on without any notice. I thought that was a lowbrow stunt.
Well, that's the beauty of having sat at DirecTV and the NFL package.
I had it for a while, and I think I had it for two years, and I went back to a Time Warner Spectrum.
Well, the thing is, the Jets are so bad in a 16 game season. There's going to be two or three games that are not going to be on in this market. They'll pick up Buffalo. They'll pick up New England. Now, yesterday they picked up, Kansas City, Miami. I know that's a better national game, but there's no regional interest in that game. So even then, we're that bad. Like, put on a test pattern, anything.
Well, it was a long day then for you, because did you get up? Were you able to rouse yourself for the action?
I had a mouse rouse me to action early Sunday morning. It's getting cold out, and something got caught in the wall, and it was making this unbelievable racket right around midnight. So I watched race four live. I watched race five, the sprint, half asleep. And then next thing, it was 4:30. I had my phone on and the races on, but I then had to go back and watch the replays of the other races. So yeah, I did the beginning. I did get to see Mogul, who was just a winner every step of the way. He just stalked the Exultant and took over as he pleased, and looked sensational. And getting 5 pounds. I mean, being a three-year-old, you don't see many three-year-olds win these kind of races. So being a three-year-old, getting 5 pounds and being in great form, Ryan Moore just sat him, and Exultant wound up. Exultant was the favorite, his local horse. He wound up on the lead, which is not a big deal, but there was a target in the race that scratched, and then the other one, Schifano, never really went to the lead. So Exultant kind of set a dawdling pace, and he needed to kick like six furlongs out and not kick at the top of the stretch. He doesn't have that acceleration. So Mogul just inhaled him. Aiden had great things to say after the race, how much they're looking forward to Mogul and all the races next year between a mile and a quarter and a mile and a half. Unbelievably bred son of Galileo. I think he cost, with the exchange rate, I think he cost over $5 million as a yearling. He's a foal to Japan, a foal to a bunch of others. And he won the Grand Prix de Paris Group 1, and now he's Hong Kong Vaz winner with lots of big races coming up next year. So I got things going.
Third Vaz for Aiden O'Brien.
Yeah, he won it with a Highland Reel, and then he came back 2 years later and won it with a Highland Reel. So that's pretty good. And he wins it with Mogul. And the big picture Saturday night, Steve, was you're thrilled to have Japan win. You're thrilled to have Kumo win. You know they'll come back. You're thrilled to have Holly Doyle win a jockey championship race the previous Wednesday night, and she was delighted and said she'd come back, and you know, and considering everything they had to overcome to put this event on, it could not have worked out any better.
Well, couldn't have worked out any better for Danone Smash, and probably the most juicy returns in terms of pricing with the Jolly banner Exacta, and everything came back nice. The Swingers and the Exacta and the Quinella. So and the Try, a huge Try, $15,000. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Alan Carasso may have given out the Try in his in his tabs, and we every year when Alan goes, we typically talk to him from there, and we didn't get a chance to connect this week.
Well, we all got turned off by Danone Smash drawing post 14. I threw out Classic Legend. It was the second choice. The favorite was the Hot King Prawn. So Danone Smash, as far as getting a trip from post 14, you could not have worked out a better trip. He was mid-pack. He was only 2-3 off the rail. He had Ryan Moore, and this is Ryan. This kind of completes a career grand slam for Ryan. He's now won all four Hong Kong international races in his career. So he has him, you know, just grinding down the stretch. And I have Wishful Thinker at 42-1, and he is coming. He had a little bit of spitted off heels. He was 14th at the top of the stretch. He misses by 3/4 of a length. He misses second by a short head. I needed him in the place pool, which would have been great. And I would have taken a 42-1 winner had he done so. But he was tremendous last quarter, fastest of the field. But Danone Smash and Ryan Moore, they did it from post 14. Jolly Banner 84-1.